This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. This week's episode is brought to you again by the Friends of the Magic Word. Those are the ones who help us with their ongoing financial pledges and their donations. Thank you guys very much for your time and help, and thank each of you for tuning in from week to week. You know, you can help us even without making a financial pledge if you will just use our link to Amazon. If you're going to be buying something through Amazon.com, then be sure and go through our link because we have an affiliate program, and for every purchase you make, we get just a little bit of love back from them, just a few pennies here and there, and that kind of adds up after a while. So thank you guys very much for those who have been clicking on that Amazon link, which is at the bottom of the page of every one of the Magic Word podcast blogs. Also, we encourage you to sign up for our weekly pod letter if you haven't had a chance to do that. We have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who have signed up already, but you may be one of the few who have not yet. So we encourage you to sign up so that way you learn who is going to be here from week to week and also who's coming up then the next week. In 2002, there was a movie called Minority Report that was directed by Steven Spielberg that starred Tom Cruise. Some of you might remember that movie. The important thing is that it was kind of a snapshot of what might happen in the relatively near future. At that time, they were looking at something that might be plausible to happen within the next 40 years. Well, what's happened, obviously, is that some of that technology has actually come to pass over the last 18 years or so since the movie had first premiered. And the interesting thing is that a while back, I was performing at the Magic Castle, and one afternoon, I went over to visit with a friend of mine who is a mind reader, mentalist Alan Gittleson, and a member of the Magic Castle, also the Academy of Magical Arts. Anyhow, he worked for the company who was helping to give Steven Spielberg some of these cool ideas of what the future just might look like. Well, I'm mentioning that because there are a lot of things that we are using right now as magicians that kind of look at what may be the future. And I think that as this podcast progresses and in future years, and people listen back to these podcast episodes in the archives, and they hear things that we're talking about, we'll realize that, well, that's now part of our everyday experience. But one of those things I believe that we are moving towards, that we're kind of in the midst of right now, has to do with virtual lectures and virtual performances and that kind of thing that we're doing digitally and online. Those are things that right now here in 2020 we are more or less experimenting with, but I believe will be part and parcel of what we need to be offering as magicians as we move forward. And as we do, there will continue to be other things that are important that we're doing in our marketing, such as getting testimonials from our clients. So this way we can encourage future clients to book us for our shows, of course. And some of those shows might be done virtually. So this way, it really doesn't matter wherever you are literally on Earth that you'll be able to do that anywhere. And I believe further that we'll be seeing new technology with the advancement of satellites that will be launched that will give us more digital technology and immediacy of the internet so that we're not going to be having dropouts and we won't be having different problems and glitches and things that we're experiencing here in 2020. I believe that we'll be having a much smoother and easier time of projecting ourselves and performing, whether we are lecturing or performing, whether we are giving a presentation of any type, motivational speaking or whatever that it might be, to wherever and whatever group, wherever they might meet. I believe that that's going to be something of the future. I know as this episode is being broadcast that we are on the eve of something great when it does come to virtual broadcasting. In fact, I know there's an event that's going to be coming soon that is going to be available. It's let me read this. It says it's set to take place on Wednesday, October 7th at Alt Space VR from 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. The event will discuss how magic can operate in virtual worlds and how the, quote, art of storytelling, understanding audiences, and building relevant and innovative impossibilities, end quote, applies to magic in virtual reality. The aim is to show how digital magic in a virtual world can provide a sense of disbelief just like real-world magic and not just stem from amazement at the technology behind it. The experience will also offer some perspective on the live theater aspect of magic and how this can be applied to VR experiences. Anyhow, I think that is pretty amazing to think how that we are, again, on the precipice of something that is great that those who are listening in the future, after this podcast has been put in the archives, will probably be part of this and say, yes, this is what we're doing then right now. And we were projecting this some time ago back here in 2020. And this just, again, to recognize that we have to move with technology or we're going to be left behind. Well, I'm mentioning all of this because our guest here today, Mr. John Pullum, is someone who is also kind of at the foreground of some of this activity. And I'm talking about all of the activity from the standpoint not only of working with digital technology, virtual technology, I should say, that he also has for a long time been on the forefront of knowing how to gather testimonials. And again, I think that is important because it will continue to be one of the best ways of trying to get new clients, because people like to know what their friends experienced and they would like to have a shared experience. So if someone had a positive experience and they give that testimonial, then you share that, others will see that, and they would like to share that type of experience too. Well, these things and more will be discussed here this week. I think this is a very interesting episode that will give you a lot of enlightenment and encouragement and education as well as being informative and a lot of fun too. I want you to please welcome my guest here this week, my friend, Mr. John Pullum, here on The Magic World. Today I have with me a friend all the way from Michigan and someone that I have known for quite some time and also is a friend of magicians around the world. He is a motivational speaker and a mind reader, mentalist. He has also been a host, television host, on several shows such as the Discovery Channel's More Than Human, as a hypnosis mind control expert for Unsolved History, a psychic expert for More Science of Magic, which is and a game show host for Thrill Rides, Put to the Test. And he was the host of the series Cheating Death, as well as appearing on other national and international television shows. And as I said, he works also not only as a mind reader, but then also to help motivate corporate audiences across the country. And so he is a friend of other magicians. And I say that because he's also been working closely with our friend, Mr. Franz Ferrari. Please welcome my friend right now and yours, Mr. John Pullum. Hi there, John.
Hey, Scott, thanks so much for having me on your show. Appreciate it. It's cool to see you here on Skype and talk to you on your great, great podcast.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you being a longtime listener and a supporter then as well.
First-time caller.
And so there's so many things that I really want to unpack and things that you have been working with and doing. Now, the television shows that you had done before, I was thinking that you had done something also that was kind of before Mythbusters. Or were you involved with Mythbusters?
Well, actually, it's funny. More Than Human was kind of created as a request from the Discovery Channel to the mm-hmm. production company that ended up hiring me to host it. And I had done a little 3-minute segment for More Science of Magic, and that was all through Franz Ferrari. I've known Franz since I was 16 years old.
Wow.
And I started out, I actually wrote him a fan letter before email and all that, before computers. And that's how old we are. And he wrote me back. He's from Michigan here, and we started hanging out and been, you know, friends ever since. I consider him one of my best friends in the whole wide world. I talk to him a few times a week, just a great, great guy. But he was doing this More Science of Magic show, and I did a blindfold drive through the streets of L.A. for that. And the segment producer, the main executive producer of that show, talked to the segment producer and said, I like his look. Seems like a fun guy. And granted, I had a bag over my head for a good chunk of the. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, does he like my look with the bag or without the bag? So he liked it without the bag, which was great. And then that turned into the game show. And I flew out to L.A., did this game show without a contract. They forgot to give me the contract. And I'm like, look, if it doesn't end up paying or whatever, look, I hosted a, you know, game show, an international game show at an amusement park for Discovery Channel. And I think it was on the Travel Channel as well, maybe. So because of that, they said, if this works out well, we have you in mind for another series. And uh-huh. just like all the gigs we do, it's like, oh, if you work with us on this deal, you know, we have, right. you know, nothing ever comes of it.
And you always go, yeah, but, yeah, sure, well up.
Yeah, sure, whatever. So I ended up getting a co-producer credit, which is kind of unheard of, first main show out of the gate, on the game show, because I ended up giving him ideas and helping him on things that really, really made the show work. And More Than Human came to be. So More Than Human, backtracking again, was something that the Discovery Channel wanted to be on right before and right after Mythbusters, which was their new baby.
Yeah.
So More Than Human was similar enough to keep people, if they were watching More Than Human, it would keep them on to Mythbusters. If they tuned into Mythbusters and then watched through Mythbusters, then More Than Human was similar enough to keep them going on the Discovery Channel network after that. So we were kind of like the bread between their favorite meat. And, so it was fun. So yeah, some people confused the show. I remember walking through the mall one time and this person got all excited, freaked out when they saw me and said, you know, my God, I can't believe it's you. You know, I want your autograph. And this is again before smartphones and all that were real popular. So I went into this tuxedo shop or something and I asked him for a piece of paper and a pen because I wanted to give this number one fan a, you know, an autograph. And he said, I hope they do that episode again where you did the thing with the myth about the cat in the microwave and the big, you know, aluminum foil in the microwave or whatever. And he said, that's Mythbusters. And he said, who are you? He said, I'm John Pullen, my host, More Than Human. Oh, yeah, I like your show, too. So from that ego boost to, you know, OK, yeah, I like your show, too. I'll take your autograph anyways. But the thing that it did was opened a lot of doors. And, you know, it doesn't matter if the TV show has anything to do with your, you know, magic show or whatever you're booking. The fact that you had that celebrity, you know, the fact that you were on TV.
Right.
3 days a week or
so. Yeah,
those
credentials.
Oh, it was great. I also started filming a TV's pilot in November, flew out to LA to film another one, and it has to do with travel. And there's puppets involved, and there's six people to control these two puppets, probably a crew of 15, 20 people when it's all said and done.
A children's show for travel or for adults?
We filmed two different episodes. One is a kids-based, and the other one is a more of an adult after hours type, you know, not a raunchier show, but a more adult.
More adult, yeah.
You know, show. But at this current situation right now, traveling is a little difficult. So that is put on the back burner for the moment. But hopefully after things start clearing up here and travel is easier, we will, do that. I would love just to do TV shows.
Yeah, I would think it would be a lot of fun to begin with. Going back for just a second, you were talking about doing a blindfold drive because I had done one many years ago then as well in a convertible. And I had someone who was from the newspaper to begin with that would wanted them to write a little article about what was going to be happening. And so I had them put the mask on me and the hood and everything. And then what was kind of funny was I was in this little sports car convertible. And as I was driving, then I could see people, of course, you could see people and hear people along the sides who were sitting on the curb say, oh my gosh, you can't see, you know, he's blindfolded as I was coming up. And they would jump up from the curb because I was kind of going back and forth steering as if that
over the curb, man. I'm like, I'm going to go over. I'm just going to go over stuff and give them some good footage.
But a funny thing was just that there was one guy who had said, was standing there. I remember like it was yesterday. And he said, hey, what time is it? And I glanced down at my watch. I said, oh, it's about 2:30.
That's so funny. In 15 seconds, not that I can see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got pulled over. We had two police escorts, and they are unbelievably, I mean, they do it in LA all the time. So they never appeared on scene on the footage, but they were there and watching at a distance, two motorcycle cops, that if we needed help, they'd be there. But I got pulled over. I got pulled over by the police doing the, you know, doing the drive.
Wow.
And then the two cops appeared and said, no, it's a TV show. We're here. We're, you know, it's all legit. But yeah, cops saw me driving blindfolded and pulled, you know, pulled us over. And the other cops, you know, that we had to hire vouched for us that this was an actual TV shoot.
My curiosity really is that here you are in the Midwest, upper Midwest, and up near Detroit, which is where I first met you, I guess, was through Al the Only when I was up doing a show there in Detroit.
A long time ago.
Yeah, and Al had introduced us, and then we all went out to dinner and all that, and that was great. But my point being is that you were in the middle of the Northeast or Midwest, and so they called you in L.A., or how did that come about of them contacting you?
When I got the call from Franz, he said...
It was his contact, basically.
It was his contact.
Yeah.
And... he said, I have you in mind for something that if it comes through, it could be the biggest thing you've done, but I don't want to tell you to burst your bubble and, you know, make you sad if it doesn't come through, which, you know, may as well not have told me because I was all excited. And then he wanted it the magic of the mind and the hypnosis, you know, segment. Mm-hmm. But Discovery said, it's not going to go well with the hypnosis deal. And Franz was like, don't mention mentalism because there's numerous people out here that they could get. I'm trying to pitch you as my friend to get you out here, get you as part of the show.
Oh, but I see.
You mentioned mentalists, there's, you know, name your mentalist out in L.A.
Right.
So to make a long story short, they ended up not going for the hypnosis part. And Franz came up with this bio reading thing where you're feeling the muscle, you know, the muscle tension and all that stuff. So we use that
psychophysiological thought reading.
Yes. So we use that angle to make it more magic related. Lance Burton was the host. And it was just really, really cool. I had an actress friend out in L.A. that couldn't do it. And one of her friends was going to be the passenger in the car that I was going to hold her wrist. I had her all lined up. And then the producer ended up hiring his girlfriend or somebody who wanted to be his girlfriend as a passenger, which turned out great. She was freaking out and stuff. And but yeah, it was fun. You know, I rented the convertible. They had me, which was really smart. They had me rent the convertible, and then they paid me back because they didn't want to rent
insurance.
The convertible and then have a guy driving blind through the streets of LA with their name on it. And it's the first and I think only time I got the full insurance on a rental car because I didn't know how it was going to go, you know, but it went well.
But they didn't have police escort or streets blocked off, or it was just regular streets you were driving down.
Oh, yeah, but they had the police escort. Like I said, the motorcycle officer was in the back, way back, and one in the front. So they were there and able to get to us if we needed help. We had to hire, you know, they had to hire them. But no roads were blocked off. So I was going down regular roads. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I said, going up and over the curb if there's no people there. And, you know, made it look as legit as possible. And the girl driving in the car had no clue that I wasn't just navigating with her muscle tension, which I was. You know, it's all science-based and a miracle, true miracle.
Right.
And, but yeah, so that started it. After the game show, it led to that, which led to that, which Cheating Death was basically More Than Human, all chopped up and just having the people that cheated death parts of the show. You know, I was watching Discovery Channel one day and heard, was, you know, half listening to a show, and I'm like, that guy sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And it was me. It was, you know, they had used me on another show, a segment, and I'm like, holy crap, I didn't even do that show, and they're using the segment, you know, everything you needed to know about the supernatural or whatever. I did an episode of Unsolved History where I hypnotized a bunch of college students, took them out to this abandoned farmhouse, and made them think the place was haunted. It was this whole setup on the Salem witch trials and how mind control could have messed with people. And that was really cool, using my hypnosis skills for
what did you do? Know, how'd that work out?
So they had the audition. It was so fun. And this was like one of the highlights of doing the TV stuff. They had me audition all these people and see who the hypnosis would work on the best. And I'm looking at character and everything else, who would fit this TV show the best. And they took him out to this abandoned farmhouse, which I guess was a movie set, but it was really out in the middle of nowhere, like you'd see on an old Western or whatever. There was bats flying through the window, all stuff that wasn't set up, a rat going up the stairs. I mean, just, it was creepy to begin with. So I was, quote, lost, and I was about half hour to an hour late. Really, I was down the road, sitting there, eating a sandwich, waiting for the producer to say, okay, you can come in now. So what he was doing was prepping all the college-aged guys and gals that, look, we're kind of setting John up. He was on The Tonight Show. He's a psychic that can talk to the dead. Somebody died in this place. Nobody tell him that somebody died in this place. We're going to see, you know, he thinks it's a hypnosis segment that you guys auditioned for, but we're going to see if he picks up on any spirits here. And if not, we're just going to do the hypnosis segment. So they're putting all these fake rumors into these young people's heads.
Right.
So I show up and I start doing the hypnosis thing and I'd stop. Can we stop for, can we just stop? And then I'd go over and I'd feel the wall and I'd close my eyes and take it. Okay. We can start again. And, you know, I do a little bit more or whatever. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Can we stop again? And I, you know, go out on the porch and whatever, you know, and the people in the hypnosis, you know, the hypnotized group is just, what's going on? He's picking it up. And during one of the breaks, the one girl came up. So how long have you, you know, had the gift to speak to the dead? You know, she couldn't even keep a secret that she knew who I was and all this. So I end up stopping again. And the producer, once again, all set up, says, John, I'm sorry. You know, you're kind of tapping into this. There was somebody killed here. And we just wanted to see if you could pick up on it. And I'm like, this is a bunch of boop, beep, 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 you know, and I'm kicking furniture and I go out on the porch and I'm yelling at him and I want this on camera. I did not, you know, I did not sign up for this. This is, you know, you got, and I'm like,
yeah.
And the people inside are, you know,
yeah.
Well, John, can you please just, you know, can we try to tap into this a little bit more and whatever? You know, I'm fuming. So I finally agree to come back in and we try a seance type thing. One of the college students was the nanny for the producer. I had lunch with her earlier and went over everything that I wanted her to do. And I,
that's part of the group. She's a
part of, well, just her alone.
Oh,
but yeah, she's part of the group.
You know,
she was part of the group.
But so the rest of the kids, the college kids think that she's with them.
She's part of them. She's one of the ones that auditioned in their mind. Yeah. So I wrote, like, right elbow or something, and I did almost like a psychokinetic touches without any trickery to it. I'm like, spirits, if you're here, you know, give somebody a sign. You know, they're all holding hands. And, you know, she, let's go. And, you know, did you feel something? Yeah. You know, I had set a paper, piece of paper in the center. And what did you feel? Something touched my right elbow. And I said, somebody, you know, pointed to somebody else. Can you open up the paper? Right elbow. And then I had to go. They let me go try to find out where the spirit, where the main focus was of this, was of the spirit. So they had a chair set up and a pizza out in this field. So I was sitting there eating pizza in a swamp, basically, with a bottle of water. And they microphone, you know, called me on the mic. There's somebody coming out. They have to use the restroom. So I'd start walking around with my pendulum and my flashlight. You know, so if they look, they could see me with this pendulum and flashlight going around. Okay, they're back in. Okay, you can sit down and eat again. So they ended up sending people out to me one by one in the middle of this field swamp type thing. And I had them holding on to the pendulum and, you know, power suggestion and everything else. They were hearing things and the pendulum was moving. And to make a long story a bit shorter, we narrowed it down to the person that was the most
susceptible?
Controlled by this, yeah, by the spirit. And it wasn't the actress. It was somebody that wasn't set up. And I, you know, we
exposed that you chose, you kind of played it by ear.
Who do you think? Who out of all these people, who do you think is feeling the spirit the most? Yeah, and it was this girl that definitely was. And she heard, you know, it was bringing tears to my eyes and whatever, you know, she was really into it. And, you know, look, this is a setup. I am John Pullum. I'm a hypnotist, but I do not talk to dead people. And, you know, this is the whole thing about the Salem witch trials. And if this was the day of the Salem witch trials, this young lady, I forget her name, probably would have been killed, you know, because she is connecting to these spirits, and the spirits are connecting to her. So it's an amazing world we live in today that, look, you know, this is all a setup, a scam. Mm-hmm. But back then, she would have been probably burned at the stake because she probably would have been considered a witch and whatever. It was fun to do, though. It was just, it was a blast. And that was just part of, and here's the funny thing. I had kind of grown in a beard and stuff because we had stopped filming for a while or something. I forget why. And they weren't going to hire me to be the mind control expert for this Unsolved History because I was the host of More Than Human that had already, yeah, you know, 10 episodes or so.
And you were known.
Were recognizing me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I said, look, I have a beard now. So people probably won't. So I think you should really hire me because, you know, I'm John the Magician on this show. I
totally
said,
different
whatever.
Look.
And so I kind of did the mind control to snag that gig because they didn't want to hire me because I was already well known with, you know, Discovery Channel all the right. time. I'm like, no, I can do it. And I used some mind control techniques to.
And it worked.
To get them to pick me for that little segment. Yeah, and it worked, and it was so much fun. But I'd love to get back into it again, and because you can really, you know, that and YouTube and everything else, I'd like to be able to reach more people. And, you know, I just love it. I love it in front of the camera. I've been doing this stuff since I was a teenager and went to broadcast school and everything else. And now with the Zoom and StreamYard and things that we're a lot of us are using right now, it's kind of getting back into that, you know, control room type thing.
Yeah, that's
from the comfort of my own home.
Yeah, nope, that's true. I was going to ask you about StreamYard and Zoom versus other kinds of platforms, Skype or whatever else that is used. And I'm sure that with your background, you're kind of working again with Franz with his things that he's doing regularly then and doing some live streaming. What is it that you use and recommend and why?
I like StreamYard, and there's, you know, there's pros and cons to all of it. Franz and I have done 63 shows, 63 or 64, mm-hmm. interviewing magicians from around the world. You know,
and as we're recording this, by the way, right now, it's in late August of 2020, right?
Yeah, late August of 2020. We've been going since mid-March or so, and anybody from Lance Burton to Matt King to Paul Gertner to Luis de Matos to, I mean, everybody you can think of. We have Michael Carbonaro coming up, different people. And the thing that I didn't like about Zoom is a lot of times, depending on how you have it set, you can see the audience. And that's great if you're doing a virtual show, mm-hmm. which are popular now and will continue to be, depending on the budget of people. But I don't like the fact that you could see everybody sitting there picking their nose or eating or mm-hmm. doing God knows what else. We got into StreamYard because somebody else, I think it was Carissa Hendricks or somebody was doing a show, and I went in the chat and said, what are you using? Because I'm really liking it. Mm-hmm. And StreamYard was what was right, seemed right for us, and it's working well for us. We can use it on Facebook, the Franz Ferrari Facebook fan page. You could use it on YouTube. You can use it on different platforms. I just like in having the broadcast background and editing and I like that I can switch back and forth the cameras. Right. I know we had a little tutorial on that, and other people, Connie Boyd, I had a talk with her. Other people will contact me, and I'll give them little StreamYard tutorials because.
Yeah, you'd give me a lot of great advice. My background also, I have a minor in radio and television, and so I could pick up exactly what you're talking about and switching back and forth between the a couple of people who are on or among other guests.
Yeah, people get mentally, visually bored. I mean, if the subject is kind of whatever, they might get bored. But if they're visually at that static four shot or two shot or one shot, whatever, people get bored easily now, more so. And I'm so ADD and whatever. It's like, if you're not visually entertaining me as well, I'm looking other shiny objects around. So you have to switch back and forth in the two shot and then switch to the person talking and then a reaction shot. When I'm doing Franz's show, I'm the co-host and moderator of his Franz Ferrari's quarantine talk, as he calls it for the moment. And that's going to change Styles here in October, so we have different plans on almost like a masterclass type thing that we might get into. And but I feel like the air traffic controller, because you're trying to switch the cameras back and forth and you're trying to look at the comments and put up the banners and everything else. But
it's like being the wizard behind the curtain of the Wizard of Oz. You're pulling the switches and pushing
like,
buttons.
Can you bring up the video, John? I'm like, oh, you know, you don't understand. I have to get from this one to this one to this one. And it's not as easy as like plate spinning. But the thing that I'm loving about StreamYard and some of these virtual effects and things that are coming out now during this time is these are things that are going to be used probably for eternity, as long as social media and all this stuff, which I can't picture this going away. What people are learning now is like, you know, the smartphone apps. When I was doing More Than Human, there was no YouTube yet. There was like MySpace or I think it was Friendster. So there wasn't even Facebook. And now there's the smartphones and the apps, the magic apps that.
Right. Do incredible things.
Yeah, can do incredible things. So now is Zoom and Skype and StreamYard, my favorite, where you can now, instead of just talking to a client, you can say, let me show you something. And here's a prediction. Everybody in the office come up with such and such and whatever. Let me open up the envelope right here on camera. And here's a full written prediction that would be like confabulation or something I would do during my show. But now it's that camera, that single lens camera, that you can do a lot of amazing things.
But using StreamYard versus Zoom, for an example, when you are doing a show with Zoom, you can have more people viewing it than you can on StreamYard. Plus, on StreamYard, you're just going to be broadcasting live to YouTube and Facebook, whereas with Zoom, that you can do that also, or you can have people in just for that program only. So if you were doing a virtual show, basically, I would think it would be easier to use Zoom if you want to have the people in the room where you can see their reactions.
Oh, definitely. You definitely want to see the reactions. And
but you can't do that with StreamYard. That's a con for that.
StreamYard. Yeah, that's the con for that. And that's the only downer, is you can't see your audience and you can't interact that way. But if I'm just doing a single show and I want to invite a few clients in, I would definitely use StreamYard. Yeah. But I mean, they both have their pros and cons. If I want to see a bunch of clients, that would be fine. You know, Zoom would be fine. I just, for the show, the quote show that we're doing, I like StreamYard better because we don't have to see the, you know, the people sitting there. And it felt, you know, it's.
But you're doing this interactive with people live on Facebook and YouTube, so that way they can type in their questions and then you could bring those questions up on the screen and everyone can see it at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. They can sign, you know, for what we're doing. Let me backtrack here. For what Franz and I are doing, StreamYard is my best bet. Our best bet. But for an actual show, if you want to do a show like Kyle and Misty and Carissa Hendricks and so many, you know, Stuart McDonald just had his
Cocktail Richard Capers. That was
awesome.
Yeah,
I think you went to. Yeah, you went to it as well. He said you were going to be a guest. I was a guest probably the weekend before. And it was cool. And the thing is that's very strange as an audience member in these is people are watching you as well.
That's a good point.
And, you know, so it's like I'm here and it's like, you know, you really have to, you know, it's almost like being on a TV show audience where the camera's pointing at you and you can't just be focused in on the magic and amazed. You have to visually, you know, smile and everything else. So it's kind of awkward as a audience member where you know people can be watching you.
So it could be a false reaction that you're giving.
Could be a false reaction or not. You just feel like you have to react more visually or you can't drink water or, you know, my nose is itching. I don't want to wipe my nose because somebody's going to think I'm picking whatever. Whereas the StreamYard shows that we do, people are commenting all the time and sharing it. And we can send people the link to come on as a guest that are kind of pre-approved that we want to have on camera, not somebody.
And then they can kind of be in the waiting room or the blue room, basically, and then you can call them up as you want to. I believe that Luke Dancy does the same thing. I believe that he's been using StreamYard then as well for his live shows that he does on Facebook then as well. I've been a guest on that as well, in which that he's given me the link, and then I get in the waiting room, and they say, well, I've got Scott here. I'm going to pull him up, and then we're live.
So I would say StreamYard for actual shows that you're – you know, like a YouTube type show or a Facebook live show that you're doing, and Zoom for if I'm hiring, you know, getting hired by clients or a theater audience or something to come and see me, Zoom would probably be the way to go. But this is all so new, and StreamYard is changing things all the time. And they wrote Franz and said, what do you suggest to use? Because you're one of our
really,
you know, big users and all that. And so Franz send it to me because I'm the man
the tech guy,
the curtain, you know, and I wrote a whole letter. I say this is what I like and this is what I don't like, and they seem to be listening and they're changing things, and it's a way of the future. I mean, I can see people, like a friend of mine in Ohio, he's a birthday party magician basically, and up until March of 2020, he was an Ohio birthday party magician. Now with Zoom shows, he is an international birthday party magician.
Right.
You are not limited now to a location. If you are a motivational speaker, a magician, or anything else, and the people can't afford you to fly you out there or whatever, look, you could have a suit coat on and a suit and tie or however you dress and be in a pair of shorts, you know, from the waist down.
And have some virtual background behind you if you need it.
Have a virtual background if you need it. And
but do you think in the,
around the world.
Do you think in the future, John, that people, and I mean corporations as well as individuals from, as you say, from around the world, whether it's going to be in London or Paris or New York or wherever it might be, would say, we want to have a virtual speaker, someone, because that typically that companies will be having a time at the banquet room and bring everybody together. And when they are there, do you think that the virtual shows will be as accepted, I guess, or will develop into something that people will use to supplement their shows? So in other words, if they, in having a live conference that you can have a big screen where someone is Zooming in or Skyping in or StreamYarding in on this screen to interact with the audience so that you can be in Michigan and then be on that screen before the live audience. I can see that happening.
I get what you're saying, and I can see it happening. I know local friends in the library market that had their library shows canceled because in our current situation, the library wasn't open. They said, look, we'll hire you. We're still going to pay you whatever, but we're going to have all the other local libraries tune in as well. So it went from 10 gigs or 30 or 100 gigs for these entertainers down to one virtual show that everybody's sharing, because how can you keep a not from sharing a public link? It's a weird thing, but there's nothing like having... It's like the Garth Brooks concert. He was charging $100 for a drive-in concert per carload.
Right.
I can watch a Garth Brooks concert probably right now on YouTube that was illegally filmed. I could sit in my car and watch it. He's not looking, oh, man, he looked towards me, you know, if he's really on stage, or he threw the pick out to my friend and my friend caught the guitar pick or whatever. You're losing that personal feel and experience of the speaker walking out on stage and and into the audience and whatever, you know, like my mentalism show with a blindfold and whatever. I can't do that virtually or whatever. You know, I was joking yesterday on your podcast that I'm doing virtual pickpocketing shows. You know, it's like, how are these people, hypnotists and whatever, going to do these virtual shows? It's not going to be, it'll be impossible for some of our entertainment fields.
But I think you're going to have to bring something different to the table. In other words, I believe that now there are still and probably over the last several years, there have been some guest speakers who were not able to make it live, and so they either sent a video or that they went virtually by using something on the big screen before a live audience.
Look at the political conventions right now.
Well, yeah, that's a good example.
Or the Academy Awards. They can't be there, but they're leaving the speech or the whatevers.
Right. But I'm just wondering that if you're going to be doing that, what would separate you from somebody else that they would rather hire you? And I would think that you can bring something else to the table if you were to bring in some other type of, well, like what Franz would do. I mean, he's just made these mega illusions for big stadiums with 80 to 100,000 people or whatever who are watching. So there's got to be something to separate you to make that.
Yeah, it's a tough thing. USP.
Point.
You're still back to watching a TV show, you know, and even when even like at Zoom, oh, hi there, Scott. How are you, Scott? I see you scratching your beard there. Good to see you. Oh, I like that shirt. You know, it's still that interaction, but it's like meeting your favorite celebrity via, you know, or having, what is it, the, what's that one thing now where you could pay money to have your favorite celebrity do a,
Oh, a birthday greeting or something?
Greeting or whatever.
A profile?
It starts with a C. I'll remember it after we're done.
I know that Gilbert Gottfried does that. I've seen those. Yeah.
But it's still not that, you know, it's still not them talking to you. It's them talking on a video. You know, they're saying your name and whatever. I think people in this, we want this podcast evergreen. This is stuff that is going to change, like I said, forever. They're not going to say everything's great now. No, people are. It's a habit now with people that they can sit at home and they can do whatever. Mm-hmm. A lot of the magic clubs, a lot of the Kiwanis or the Rotary or whatever, membership in these types of clubs have been going down, especially magic clubs, for the last number of years.
And attendance at conventions as well.
Oh, crazy. Mm-hmm. Why? Because before with Abbott's, oh, man, I can't wait to go to Abbott's.
Right.
I can see these magicians that I've heard about this or this and that. Now I can watch Lance's show on YouTube, or I can go
stay
and
home.
Watch a lecture by Kevin James on the Franz Ferrari quarantine talk that we did, whatever, and stay home and not associate with anybody. Oh, I don't want to see that guy's a creep, whatever. Now, with what's going on now, everybody is now to that point. And the Magic Castle Awards and everything else. But it's the way of the future. I hope the social interaction will come back, and I hope the shows will come back. I hope the sales conferences and all that. But on a positive note, we as an entertainment group and as people in general have to embrace this, and it's a great tool to pitch shows even 10 years ago. It's amazing that people weren't using it to its full potential. Like I told you, I haven't used Skype in probably 5 years, and this is the first time because there's other options.
There are a lot of other options, and some people are just used to old technology. There are some reasons why that we're using Skype here today, but I use other things as well. I believe that there are those who have a fear of technology and have not jumped in, and you're going to need to. I mean, it's just like I bought a computer. My first computer I probably didn't turn on for 6 months because I was afraid it was going to break it. Didn't know how to get into it. It's kind of funny when you look back on all these kinds of things. But I think you just need to embrace it. And even buying that first computer that I was telling a friend, well, I'm waiting until that they are finished with the technology and they get this, though it's going to be fast enough. He said, if you're waiting for that, you're never going
to
buy one.
You're going to have to go with the next one. No, yeah. And the thing that I'm liking now, we're using Skype, and I am looking at your face. You're looking at mine.
Yeah.
I can see that, oh, you have the same exact microphone I have. You have the same headphones, everything. But it's a lot easier to talk. And it's a better interaction than being on a phone call and, oh, I'm looking out the window, it's raining today, or there goes my dog or whatever. It's like we're talking to each other, and that's, can you imagine that with a client rather than trying to sell yourself over the phone? You can see them and you can talk to them, and now they're used to the Zoom calls. Before it would be like, what's a Zoom?
Well, not only that, you can also, and I've done this before, and I say before, I was doing this, golly, 2015 or so, and earlier, in which that I would attach short videos to my emails that I would give them a pitch saying, look, here's what I can do for you. And that way they get to see me, and I feel as if I was talking, well, I was talking directly to Joe Blow, whoever that was the potential client at the time. And that would be an attachment. Or if it was too long and couldn't be embedded in the email, that I could give them a link that would go to some app like Dropbox or whatever, so they could listen and watch this, but it was specifically made for them. So it was the closest thing before I could use Skype and some of these other kinds
of things. I've done that as well, and it's done wonders. I usually would embed it into my website, and then at the very end of the video, I would put testimonials, you know, of all my of all my past clients. And that's another thing, getting into a whole different thing that I love, and hopefully it's okay for this podcast. It's the testimonial videos. I used to ask the people, what trick did you like the best? Or what, you know, because it was that ego thing. Oh, what did you like? What fooled you? Whatever. Now I always ask them, why did you hire me over the other? You know, you had a lot of options, especially now with the internet and everything else. Why did you hire me over everybody else? And a lot of people say, A, which is floors the crap out of me. You called back. You were easy to, you know, you communicate with. You know, we called these other, and they never even called back or whatever. They never responded to the, you're in business, man. You have to call these people back. And even if I'm calling them back 5 minutes after they said to call them back or whatever, it's like, oh, that, you know, did somebody else, you know, that ADD thing's kicking in. Did somebody else call them already? Did somebody? And I find also that 9 out of 10, almost 100% of the clients, I give them an option. Contact me by email, contact me by phone. Most want to be contacted by email. People don't want to deal with people. People want just email or text or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they say, contact me by email. And if I don't hear back from them, I will call them and say, oh, at the end of the email, here's another gem that feel free to use. I'm going to bring it up so I tell you exactly what I say. To let me know this got through your spam filter, okay. Please reply to this email. Even a simple got it, in quotes, will do. I put that on the end. That's part of my signature right before I, you know, sign the email. So these people that I wrote back and took this time contacting them right away and telling them what they need to know, if they didn't respond with a simple got it within 24 hours or so, because they said to contact them by email, but I have their phone number. I'll call them back and I'll say, hey, it's John. You know, I'm sorry to bother you. I know you said just to contact you by email, but I haven't heard back from you. So I'm just making sure you got my, you know, reply. And if, you know, if you have any questions, if I can help you in any way. And I either get a, no, it must have been in our spam filter. We wondered why you weren't. So I got them there.
Yeah.
And they were happy that I called to confirm it. Or B, I am so, so sorry I didn't respond sooner, because all I had to do was put, got it, two words, got it.
Yeah.
And they didn't even do that for me, and I apologize profusely that I didn't even respond with a got it. How can we, you know, work together? Whatever. It always works out well. So technology, you know, is great, but you have to make sure that they have different access points to you, and you, even though they say email only, you have the right to contact them back because they never responded with the simple got it, and you just want to be the nice guy and double check that, make sure they got it.
You have to finish with a call to action. That just is basic salesmanship, that you can't say, here's what I've got and here's what I can do for you, and just kind of, thanks a lot, call me if you're interested.
That got it is almost that call to action. Another thing I do, and we're getting off topic, but this is stuff that your listeners could use. We've all had gigs call that we didn't get the gig. But we know when the gig is supposed to be or was supposed to be because we checked that date for them. So I always write down the date, have the client's, you know, information.
Right.
Put a little reminder in my calendar, and I'll send out a thank you card a day before or a day of that event. Well, I didn't get the gig. You just told me you didn't get the gig. still send him a thank you card. Mm-hmm. And I send him a thank you card and say, thank you so much for thinking of me for your event. Sorry it didn't work out for it. I hope it turned out great, whoever you hired. I hope it was great. And keep me in mind down the road. So these people get this handwritten thank you card from me right after they get back from their convention or sales conference or awards banquet or whatever. And odds are very, very good that the speaker entertainer they hired won't even send them a thank you card.
That's true, because they've already got the money in the bank
by
that point.
They got the money. People don't send out cards. They got the money. They're off to the next thing. It's not that type of society, sadly, that we live in anymore. So if the person was great, they need somebody to top that person next time.
Right.
If the person was bad, they think, man, what if we went with John Pulham? I really wanted John Pulham, but our CEO wanted a golf course designer. He likes to golf. I had that happen once. He likes to golf. None of us like to golf. And he wanted the speaker that designs golf courses because he liked them. But he was horrible, and they hired me the next year. But, yeah, send a simple thank you card. Number one, if you get the gig, send out a thank you card because that's just polite. But number two, if you don't get the gig, send them a thank you card. Thank you so much for thinking of me. That will get you gigs as they start coming back in. You know, when
I think it's important to have something that's going to be handwritten also. And I've got cards as well that I had printed up from the printer. I've got a big stack of them. And so I send them out because people are used to getting emails then right now. If you get a hand printed and not just something that is typed off on your computer or printed out, however, you need to have something that's going to be
print it out. Mm-hmm. Is more than anybody else does.
That's true.
You know, I had a person that was a realtor, and I was pitching, you know, I was one of these affiliated marketing things quite a few years ago, this card service where they would send out a hand-printed card in your own handwriting, whatever. Mm-hmm. And this realtor, I said, what do? You know, you make a sale, you sell a home, a mansion. What do you to thank the people that, A, bought it or, you know, used you to sell their mansion? I sent them a thank you email. And I said, where does that come in? Is that before the generic Viagra email or the one from the King of Nigeria's second cousin that needs your bank account number to transfer money? And he looked at me like, well, I go, where does your email come in there? Is it in their spam folder? Is it what, you know, you made a huge commission. They trusted you with their life's, you know, money.
One of the biggest purchases, yeah.
And you send them an email. Hey, thanks. You know, it's like, what? Get back to the old stamp and letter, and people, it just really sets you apart from everybody
else. Talking about
else.
Stamp and letter, going back, way back, and early advertising, I remember Whit Hayden, before that he had changed his name to Pop Hayden, he had given a very good tip, and that is that when he had a good testimonial letter, or several of them, then he would ask the company for blank stationery. And so he would get the stationery, and then he would print out the same testimonial and then sign whatever name it was on there and then include this in his packet. So he would have three or four or six of these things to begin with, and they would all be originals. And it was kind of like, oh, I get these all the time. So, you know, I'll just send
you
one of these. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
just keep it.
I've heard of school show entertainers asking principals to do that, asking for their envelope and stationery, all that. They print them off at their, you know, the magician's cost or whatever.
Right.
So they send it to other school principals. So rather than getting a letter from such and such a magician, it is from such and such elementary school from the principal. So that principal is going to definitely open up that letter from the other principal.
Right.
And they're like, wow, this is great. I've sent out unique mailers. I sent out large, you know, those smooth playground type balls.
Oh, yeah.
It was great talking with you. I know your guests will have a ball at your event when you hire me or whatever. And I write on it, and I write out on a Sharpie their address, write my return address, write my website, whatever, on this big ball, take it to the post office. They put a stamp on it, and it goes out first class mail. They never handle it like first class mail because it's going to roll off the porch or whatever. They usually knock on the, you know, door, hand it to the person. They can't put it in the mailbox because it's going to roll away. and people walk around the whole office carrying this ball back to the, you know, the person that delivers the mail or whatever. What was that ball? What was that? That was the coolest. And I've had people rave about my the balls that I send. I was going to say it a different way, but yeah, just odd mailers to keep in front of them. And as I said before, why did you hire me out of everybody else? Number one, I called back. Number two, 9 out of 10 say the testimonials. And you say about the written testimonials, people now want video. Because I could write, you know, so-and-so, you know, the CEO of Pepsi, you know, said such and such. Well, that's typed out. I could say it right now, and it would be a lie.
So do you record these then after the shows?
Yeah, I used to have a little flip video and a little
flip phone or a flip
camera. I had a little flip video camera.
That's
thing.
What I used to carry with me too.
But people would, what is that? What is that thing? What's that? Mm-hmm. I've never seen one of these. You know, I wanted the attention away from the video camera.
The technology, right.
And then I was using a little Canon Elf for a long time because I felt the video camera itself, which really nobody carries around anymore,
had better quality.
But they'd get flustered. Oh, it's a video. Oh, I'm so nervous.
That's exactly right. Because after the show, to begin with, they would always come on and say, oh, man, I loved it, da-da-da-da-da. It's like, well, can I record that? And then as soon as you turn on, you were very good. I would recommend Scott Wells for your show.
Yep. It's like, we just changed. So the Elf camera worked, and now that everybody has smartphones, I use that because it's probably better quality than the little
Well, how do you capture the moment?
But here's the deal, and this is kind of – I use some of what I learned when I was hosting the Discovery Channel shows, because if I wanted something out of the guest, if I'm sitting there with a deadpan face and not reacting, I would get the same back. It's like throwing the tennis ball against the wall. If you throw it, just it's not going to come back to you. So I was overly visual and everything else. So what I asked the client, and I film all this too, and because I see a lot of testimonials from other entertainers, and a lot of them do it wrong. When I say, you were great, you were so funny when you did that trick, and you, mm-hmm. I know damn well that the person's behind that camera. It's like the chef coming up. How's everything today?
Yes.
Oh, it's wonderful. 5 minutes ago, you're going, my God, this is tough chicken. My God, too much salt. So you're more likely to rave about the person if they're standing behind the camera. So I tell the person, I want you to say my name at least once. John Pullum, P-U-L-L-U-M. It's not Pullman, William, John Pullum. Make sure you say it right, because I don't want anybody else using this, you know, for their own testimonials or whatever. So at least say John Pullum at least once. And don't say you were great, because I could be back, and this is me talking to the client, I could be back here with a gun pointing it to your head saying, say great things about me. Don't say you. I'm not here. You're talking to a friend. And if you mess up, cool, fine. It's not like this film, you know, we'll just start over.
Right.
And if I hear them mess up or say trick or whatever, if I'm doing my mentalism, don't say trick because it's, you know, it's not magic. It's not whatever, you know. So when I point to you, I want you to start then because I don't want them to hear me talking. So you're looking at me and I'm smiling. I'm looking at them and my head's over the camera. I'm looking at the monitor, but once it starts, I'm looking at them and I'm nodding my head and I'm smiling and I'm visually reacting great, which makes them perkier and, you know, more energetic.
And giving them thumbs up and kind of giving them visual cues like, hey, you're doing great.
Yeah. I'm thumbs up and everything because I'm just holding the phone and not a huge camera.
Right.
So let's start this off. And can you say and spell your name for me, please? You know, you go Scott Wells, C-O-T-T-W-L-L-S. Now, what is the name of your company? Oh, such and such. Now, is that Inc. or LLC or, you know, what is that? Mm-hmm. And this is all on video. And what is your title? Okay, great. And I have permission to use this on my promotional materials. You give me permission to, you know, to use this on whatever, you know. Yes, I got up to that point with a couple of big name companies and they go, oh, no, well, we're not allowed to. I thought this was just for your own personal use. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't go home and go, oh, let me watch that again, them raving about me. I had one that said, I'm not sure, actually. We have to go over it with legal. And I said, well, look, I'm here now. You have my word that if legal says no, this is not going anywhere. It's getting deleted. If legal says yes, I have it. I'm not flying back to the state to get it. And we're doing it here. so let's do it. And it was like the best testimonial ever, and legal said no. Oh. So I had to delete it, but I did it, you know. Yeah. So, okay, give me all permission? Yes. Okay, now, basically what I'd like you to do is tell me, you know, you had people coming up to you after the show and just saying how great it was, and how was it working with me? What was the reaction you got so far from your clients? What takeaway, whatever? You don't say, oh, this trick was great, or like, you did this and whatever. Focus more on how I was to work with and the response you've had from your audience, because that's all the people care about.
Sure.
That's right. All the, you know, so, okay, you got it. Okay, perfect. And, you know, 30, 60 seconds, a minute, whatever you want to do. Just, okay? And I'm smiling, and I point to them, and they start talking. And at any point, they say something I don't want, or say Pullman, or
right,
whatever. I, you know, 2-3 times, they can go over it. And I always try to get them away from noise. There's somewhere you hear the things clanging and stuff.
Now, is this someone that you actually go and seek out, or do you wait and is this the client who had hired you? Or
usually the client that hired me.
Okay, and, so you seek them out after the show.
Yeah, and this. There's times when they're raving, I'm like, can you do me a favor? I know you've seen my testimonial video because you raved about them. I would love one from you. Can we do that right now? Mm-hmm. And then, like, I did a show for another big-name company that they didn't have me totally. This was quite a few years ago. They didn't have me totally in their budget, and part of my contract was 2 testimonials from top people.
Oh, that's a good idea,
and
having
the
contract.
And that worked more than some money at times.
Well, and also that would run to legal department, so you won't have to worry about that issue.
Oh, yeah, nothing. You know,
so it's already pre-approved, saying, look, I've already got the contract. It says you will agree to having this testimonial.
Hmm. And it's not Bob's Plumbing Supply. I mean, it's a company that if I said the name, anybody probably in the whole world would know mm-hmm. who it was. And that was worth everything, you know. And but it's cool because you have the person's actual video on there and their face and they're smiling and they're whatever. And it's not mm-hmm. it's not a written thing that people aren't reading. You know, people want audiobooks. People want whatever. People want to watch it on YouTube. People want it. You know, if you have your little promo reel and then you're going to stop and start reading it on your phone, you know, written testimonial.
You're going to have a couple of things, obviously, there that will be just some pull quotes for the website. They'll be from 3 or 4.
And you can take it off the video.
Exactly, right. Right. So even though that they may not be showing their emotion on the video of how excited they were, but they are saying the right words, that could be the pull quote that would be
Reebok says he was fantastic, whatever. It's and then mm-hmm. I could also take it, like you're doing with your podcast, and make them into audio files if they just want to click and listen to the testimonial mm-hmm. or see the testimonial, whatever they prefer. But yeah, testimonials, man, get them. Even from an audience member, if you want, you know, whoever you can.
Well, sometimes they will respond to you in an email then as well. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I did a gig many, many, many years ago when I was still doing the hypnosis for the corporate clients. They were in meetings probably since like 7 or 8 a.m. in the morning. Mm-hmm. Started early, all day long. Dinner was postponed because other meetings were running late, whatever. People were walking around like zombies, tired. Hmm. They had me going on at like 9 or 10 p.m.
Oh, boy.
After a full day. I could have been Jerry Seinfeld or...
They just want to go to bed.
I could have been the whatever, you know, Tom Hanks coming up to give a speech. They were not in any mood to see anything. And it was the producer said you were like a duck. Calm and cool on the top, but you could tell you were paddling like hell underneath to stay afloat. He liked the show, but it was, man, it was like a mental workout for me. But after the show, a couple of audience members came up and said, that was, you know, that was so great. That was so funny. We've never seen a hypnosis show like that. That was wonderful, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know what? Guys, I really appreciate, that was so great of you to say that. I'm glad you loved it. Could I get you to say that on video? I would love it. I would love this from you. And I had the audience members, you know, giving me little testimonials thinking if the main client said, rah, 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 I'm like, look, your audience loved it. You know, here's your guest raving about it on video. They loved it. It was not my fault that they ended up having me go 2 or 3 hours late. And for whatever reason, scheduled me after everybody was exhausted. Yeah, it wasn't the best show I've ever done, but I sure as heck wanted those testimonial videos from a couple of the, you know, not the main president, but, you know, at least a couple of audience members that raved about me as a little, you know.
That's a very good point, because if they go back, the people who had done the hiring and the paying and signed off on the contracts and everything, if they got together in a post-mortem later and said, oh, well, that didn't work out. And the reason being because of where they had placed you in that. And if they come back to you, and when you're asking for a written testimonial or an email or something, and they say, well, there was a problem or whatever, say, well, that's strange. You know, can I send you these other testimonials from people in your audience? It. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is a really good strategy. It's like, maybe that it was better than we thought. We need to ask some of our own people what they thought.
Yeah. But you'll have the top, some of the ones that wouldn't, like GM, Procter & Gamble, another dental association, couldn't give me the video testimonial because you can't. There's some I can't, you know, Scott Wells says John Pullum was great. You know, Scott Wells from General Motors says John Pullum. That's a, like an endorsement by General Motors,
the company.
So, yeah. So their clients can't be going, Bose stereos are wonderful. Says General Motors, you know, Scott Wells, whatever. It's, I could see legally why they can't do that, but
of course
I'd say 95% will be happy to give you a video testimonial, and doesn't work out well, you could always go for the written one.
That's a good idea. Well, listen, I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Sorry, went off tangent there on the marketing and stuff.
No, I think that's very valuable, something that we're going to be able to use for a long time to come. You know, testimonials have been around, and I think that there's nothing better than testimonials, certainly, to actually sell a person or a product or a thing or whatever, because people want to. It's the same thing like whenever you have a picture taken, you don't want to have a picture of you with your, as a mentalist, with your finger up to your head like you've got a headache.
Yeah, like your headache, yep.
Exactly.
A long time ago. Yeah, the ace of spades coming out of the deck or whatever.
Right. You want to have the picture of the audience laughing or engage with you or applauding, or whether you're walking around close up. It's not a picture of you, but it's a picture over your shoulder of them. You can see that you might be involved in giving them that experience. But then it's like a testimonial in a graphic form and just a picture where you get to see how, and people want to be having that same experience as that group did right there.
Yeah, a friend of mine that's a top speaker and author said it doesn't matter how, you know, it doesn't have to be a crystal clear picture. Show pictures of you in action. And Luis de Matos, on one of the last shows I did with Franz, was talking about unique, I think it was him, that was talking about unique pictures and promo things. So when you're walking down, you know, here's a guy with his hand up to his head, and there's 20 fans of cards and pulling the rabbit out of his hat or whatever. And you walk past a picture that goes, whoa, makes it think, you know, do a double take. That's what you want. I'm all about marketing. If I don't know, hopefully I didn't okay this with you, but there's I'm trying to get more on YouTube. There's a plugin called TubeBuddy that if your audience goes to tubebuddy.com/Pullum with a capital P, TubeBuddy.com/P, like Peter, ULLUM, like Mary, my last name, tubebuddy.com/Pullum. They'll be able to download that extension on Chrome or Firefox for free. And it helps with the SEO. It helps with your thumbnails. It helps with all the things that are going to promote your videos. I tell this to people. I like talking to you about StreamYard and stuff. I don't mind giving away the secrets that I'm using for marketing. I also have on my website, pullum.com, once again, P-U-L-L-U-M.com. There's a resource section, and there's all different things from royalty-free music to, you know, info on TubeBuddy and different videos that I did on some stock footage, things to make your presentations, your viral presentations, or your YouTube promotions. Because if you're not into that, you're missing the boat. You know, some people aren't even on Facebook, don't have a Facebook page. Some of the top pros that we've interviewed throughout the years or throughout the last few months, oh, my website expired, I didn't get it.
Well,
or, you know, here's a half an inch by half an inch picture to use. You have to get on the bandwagon with, you know, the virtual shows, with the all the technology, and my resource page on Pullum.com will, you know, give your listeners a little bit of a little glimpse on some of the stuff I use. And but yeah, I appreciate talking to you.
Sorry. Sure.
Babbling here, but hopefully it was great info for your listeners.
I think so, it was, and of course it's called the Magic Word Podcast, and so I always like to close by asking my guests what it is that is important to you. What's your magic word or phrase?
my magic word or phrase.
Your philosophy of life.
My philosophy of life. I would love to leave people happier than when I met them. There's so many times I'm bald. All the time. But when I run into somebody, you know, be it a cashier or anybody else, they go, "How are you doing today?" And I go, "Well, other than having a bad hair day, I'm doing great." And some don't know how to react, which is, I love that, because they're just like, I don't know if I should laugh or not. And others crack up. And I've heard more times than not, they say, "Thank you. Thank you for letting me," I'm joking up, "Thank you for letting me laugh. I haven't laughed in such a long time. Thank you for making me smile. I haven't smiled in such a long time." And for those of us that are in the entertainment world, you know, there's a lot of dark, you know, times in our lives, and depression and anxiety and things that we all go through. And there's others that are going through that now. If you are, you're not alone. But I laugh a lot. I mean, I'm laughing at myself and everything else when nobody's there, stupid things I do or hit my head or whatever. The world needs more laughter, and to run into people that haven't laughed in a long time, and I brought them a smile and made them forget about their troubles. You know, we can do this through the medium of YouTube and Facebook and everything else, and open up to people and share our experiences. So just leave people better than you met them. There's a lot of hate and a lot of things going on in the world that are bringing people down, and just know there's good in the world, and try to be the good.
Try to be the good, man.
You,
I like that.
Great, Scott. Love you guys, and love you, Scott, and hope to see you all very, very soon.
And I hope to see you in the flesh sometime very soon as well. Thanks, John. Appreciate your
Scott.
Words. Okay.
Thank you so much.
So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was John Pullum. This is Scotty out. Thank you, John. Good advice. Very good discussion. Had a lot of fun. I sure appreciate you joining us here this week, and I know that the listeners got a lot out of this as well. And I hope that you, again, listener, will be tuning in from week to week and hearing who all that we have coming up. One of the way that you could help the Magic Word, by the way, is that if you happen to be an iTunes user, if you would just go over to the iTunes store and please leave us a 5-star comment and something nice if you enjoy the podcast. If not, well, I understand that too. Then don't do anything. But it does help if you just give us a 5-star rating. I mentioned 5 stars because a while back we had someone who gave me a glowing comment and then gave it 1 star, thinking that 1 means really good, but actually 5 means good. The more stars, the better. I think you get the idea. Apparently that person didn't, but I do appreciate his kind comments. But nevertheless, thank you guys very much for tuning in this week. Again, next week we have another wonderful guest, and you can find out who that is by subscribing to our pod letter, so be sure to do that. So until next week, stay well, get booked, and remember to try to just be the good. This is Scotty out.